Okay, I've got 11:33. We will reconvene this regular meeting in open session. We're going to go back and pick up with item number 17. We had a motion and the court approved tabling the paying of bills. So at this time, we have bills presented in the amount of $1,431,080.51. We got a motion to pay bills by Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 17? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 21 is to consider actions necessary to initiate the sale of county-owned property. I would entertain a motion for this court to authorize the county attorney to execute any and all necessary documents for the listing and sale of a county-owned property located at 201 North Lutterlow in Gatesville, Texas, identified as CAD ID number 113069, and being that portion of Block 3 of the Lutterlow addition consisting of lots 5, 6, 9, 10, and 13.
So moved.
Second.
Motion from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 21? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 22 is to consider the purchase of a building for the tax office in Coppers Cove. Is there any action that the court wishes to take at this point on item number 22?
No, sir.
Okay, hearing none. That concludes this portion of the county's business for this morning. We do have a workshop set for 1:30 this afternoon, so we are in recess until 1:30 p.m. Thank you all.
Thanks, guys.
I did.
Good meeting.
Fun looking bag at.
Recording in progress.
Okay, I've got 1:37. We'll reconvene for this afternoon's workshop. We're looking at primarily two topics to kind of have discussions on, or to have discussions on. Office space and needs and utilization for Coryell County departments, as well as discussing costs and funding options for potential building purchase and remodeling of current facilities. So to be very clear up front, I know I did not anticipate the immediate need, and I do think it is a need to address the tax office and voting space in Coppers Cove. I was pretty much under the impression as we entered into budget season that our lease agreements that we had in place would be extended. And that did not come to fruition, at least for the voting space. And we still, at this point, to make it very clear, there's been some verbal communications between the tax assessor collector and the owners of the Cove Terrace Shopping Center. But they still have not presented us a contract for the court to consider and adopt or accept or choose to do it. So with that, the first piece of this is, I think, to establish what areas are the priorities. Because if we can prioritize and then we can start synchronizing is the way I look at it. And overall, I think are looking at who potentially is impacted is juvenile probation, the district attorney, the tax office, the JPs, 3 and 4. And yes, I know that we're moving them, but that's part of the, the moving pieces of this. The 440th district court, potentially juvenile court, potentially the county attorney, and the criminal investigation building are things that we've all are all of those have been discussed at some level, you know, over the past 6 months to a year as addressing. So I start by saying that I believe that because we are leasing space and we don't have a contract in place, I believe that just from my standpoint is the number one priority becomes a tax office in Copper's Cove, whatever that looks like. That becomes, I'm just saying for me. And then you look at a series of we've used the term dominoes before. Then there's a series of dominoes that fall because there's some properties that could possibly be sold, but before we could sell those properties, we need to have a place for juvenile probation to go. But for where potentially juvenile probation would go, it's currently occupied. Between the district attorney and the 440th, they would have to vacate that before we could get it. And then all of this at the end of the day then comes down to what can we fund? And then what do we have to look at for future expenses? So with that, I would open it up to discussion as to what the court's desire is in kind of moving forward, or at least establishing the priorities, and then let's see what we can afford out of those priorities.
Okay. I agree. I mean, tax office was something that hit us upside the head. Something we have to take care of. I think it's almost a stand, in my mind, it's almost a standalone issue because of the way we're going to have to come up with the funds to do that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It's a separate related topic. It's not.
Why did you hear my priorities though?
All right. Well.
So I actually asked for this, to be put on as a workshop. I know we had planned and talked about it, but we just got to keep pushing. The new annex will be occupied in the middle of January. So the 440th will be out of there. The tax office is already out of there. So, I mean, I really, thought beyond the tax office, the number one thing that I want to resolve is what are we going to do with the space over there where the tax office, the DA, and the 440th, and that doesn't cost us anything. That doesn't cost us a dime to decide on that and make a decision. But we can't start moving forward and gathering quotes and build outs and all of that until we decide who is going to occupy those spaces. I brought mine today. If we have to walk over there with all the interested parties and look at the space, we can sit here and say, oh, well, they can take this. I don't know what the hallway is. I've only walked that facility twice now. And so I don't even know what they're talking about when you guys say, oh, well, they used to be in the hallway. Fortunately, I was never in juvenile probation back then. So I don't even know what we're talking about. So my priorities are deciding how much the DA is going to carve out to make space for his new additional employees. How much space that juvenile probation is going to have to require and how we can accommodate them in that. And then I'm also here, and you know, I invited CID to join us today because I've been an advocate for them in that their space is just it's deplorable. I hate to use that word. And then what really, you know, when I'm going to pull in your heartstrings, you know, what really sealed it for me was the other day when I was driving by, I saw a toddler, 3-4 years old, clutching her teddy bear, going into that office. And I know what she was going in there for. It was either to be with her parents and or to figure out some kind of testimony. And if you've ever been in that office, the interrogation room is meant just for that. It's a cinder block wall. Very cold, nothing in there, a couple of chairs and a table. And, you know, this is the spot where these guys are having to bring in, you know, rape victims, your daughters, your sons, you know, in that type of an atmosphere. And that goes beyond, you know, and by the way, the minute you walk in there, they get used to it. It's like guys who work in meatpacking plants, you know, and you walk in there and you go, my gosh, how do you work here? They don't smell it after a while, but you guys know what smell I'm talking about, you know, from the evidence room. And beyond that, I challenge you guys to go over there and look at, you know, they've got 7 desks in that space. So those are my priorities, juvenile probation, DA, and CID.
Pretty mine as well. But I don't know how much space they need to be allocated, how big it needed, if that building's big enough to fill everybody's needs.
Yeah, that's one
of the questions that none of us have,
yeah, in my opinion.
Which something we gotta try to address and figure out.
Yeah, that's why square footage does matter, you know, and how it's laid out. Approximately the current CID, they sit in 1,200 square feet. And I don't want to make this just a CID, but it was kind of a kickoff because I think we've already all agreed that the DA is, you know, needs some of that additional space, or at least that's the conversation I've heard. We've all agreed that we need to figure out, you know, how we're going to lay juvenile probation out in that building. And then, so what's left over? They're operating in 1,200 square feet right now. One of the things that I've talked to these guys about is they're not going to require as much as they do there because they'll keep that building, but that will become a permanent evidence facility, if you will. There'll be just a small office in the front of it, and they have also, and of course, I want the sheriff and the chief to also weigh in on this, leaving the interrogation room there. Okay, so any bad apples, you know, any arrested and or anybody they're bringing over from the jail, they would do all their interrogations there. But in the new facility to build out a little soft, really can't even call it an interview room. I don't want to call it interrogation. But a soft interview room, which is pretty common. We kind of had a conversation earlier about that's what the hidden gym, you know, where that's more softer lighting, a few pictures on the wall, a couple of comfortable chairs where these victims feel comfortable when the investigators are asking them very, very, you know, difficult and personal questions. So less than, you know, I mean, we just have to, you know, figure it out. Trust me, these guys would probably, you know, take just about anything because they could just have a little privacy in their conversations.
I would caution about putting CID together with juvenile probation because I understand, you know, we're looking at the victim side of it, but you also have to look at, we're interviewing perverts, sex offender registration, all of that. They don't need to be in the same building as juvenile, especially when they share one bathroom.
If there was clear entrances and we could take care of the bathroom issues, is that a, and there's a dividing wall. Okay, fair enough.
I've been looking at the tax office for 3 years, and asked for these talks to start when we started this building over here. But anyways, I agree the tax office in Copper's Cove needs to be addressed. And I think that when we can figure out what we're going to do with those empty spaces based on what their needs are. The old tax office, the 440th, I visited with juvenile. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I know you've been in the DA's office.
Mm-hmm.
You go past
multiple times.
Yeah. You go past the receptions desk, and that hall is where they were before.
The payback rooms.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And that would be adequate space still. And I think that the DA was trying to move into the tax office. That way all his stayed on that one side. But they work with them too. And then one would have a conference room because there's two conference rooms in the back. One would have one conference room and one would have the other conference room. No?
No, the two rooms in the back, one was our old filing room,
mm-hmm.
and the other was the conference room. So the filing
room. So would you need the filing room back?
I would need a filing room.
I got you.
Because we maintain all of our own.
Right. I knew that. I just misunderstood on the filing room.
We had agreed with Dusty to share the conference room as needed.
I got you. Okay. That was the one I missed. But I think that the old tax office, because I have been, it wouldn't take much in there. Those desks could come out. There are supports, but nothing in there that you would have to remove to reconstruct and put offices in that big, huge room. It wouldn't take much.
No.
Nothing's load-bearing, because I have been up in that ceiling. And then that would just leave what's going to go on the 440. I mean, those are the two simplest.
Yeah.
Once those two
absolutely.
Are completely empty.
Yep.
So.
Do we know the square footage of the 440?
Mm-hmm. Have it.
No, thank you.
Judge, didn't you say you have a floor plan? All right, well, a floor plan, but some drawing of that building over there?
It did not include. It was the remodel to what the tax office is configured now.
Okay.
Minus moving the DA's part of that stuff around because, anyway, it was outdated and it didn't reflect what I thought it reflected. Okay.
That was RBD?
Yeah, RBDR, yeah.
Yeah. It's David. Yeah, David Wright. Okay. Didn't know what that. Again, I like floor plans and I like the measured things.
The plans that don't exist are when they went from that being the commissioner's courtroom over there to the 440th. That whole.
Wow.
I think Justin's in
That's the one that. I don't have any record of, and I can't find a record of. All right, so I think, Commissioner Taylor, your priority is any different than what we've discussed? No, or
the tax office and code, if we don't get something done on it, it's going to be a train wreck here pretty quick. That's probably taking it pretty lightly. But I'm kind of like Commissioner Weddle, I'd like to at least find out how many what square footage we need for that building over there, what we have to do. We get some numbers on it. And that way, whenever we get ready to pull the trigger, we're like, all right, it's going to cost us. We're doing this is what we need done. But right now, we're just still throwing spitballs against the wall. We can sit here and do this all day and never accomplish a thing. I think we just need to sit down and get with it and get it on paper and at least have a plan going forward. But right now, it's just, well, we'd like to do this, like to do that, but liking and doing is two different things. We just need to get the ball rolling.
Okay. Commissioner Baxter?
Again, I'm not going to sit there and say I know what people need. I mean, that's why I guess we're having this. So we need to find out how many square footage they need. That's something that we can accommodate and do our best to accommodate them. The office space that's available. So the three entities that we're talking about putting in there.
Okay. All right. So with the understanding that the tax office in Coppers Cove is the number one priority. A general, and I say general, because I was trying to operate within the constraints of the budget we have, and then, you know, some information that we've requested. As a planning figure, I think we would need about $600,000. To be able to find something, purchase it, renovate it, and get it move-in ready. I mean, I had discussed with Mr. Carruthers about, you know, could we do the bare minimums, you know, just to get by, to get you in there, and in some of our conversations and rethinking that, it's, I believe, in our best interest to get it move-in ready, and then move in. I think that provides a better environment for the customers that we serve. It's a better environment for our employees so they're not having to work around things. But it does put all those costs up front. Talked with Mr. Wood a little bit and looked through the budget. I did not know that we had already committed to air handlers. So the numbers that I handed out, kind of that sheet to go through, I've identified some areas, minus you can take off the under the capital improvement fund that 100,000. You can mark through that. So at the end of the day, right now, I mean, just a cursory look through it. I believe we've got about 480,000 of the 600. And this goes to previous conversations about when do we put buildings on the market? What do we do with them? If we did sell two other properties, it would cover that gap. So then we look at, and I'm not saying that this is what we do, but if we were to do this route, or in conjunction with this, I believe that the plan that I would recommend to the court is we do a short-term financing agreement. When I say short-term, I mean like 12 months, which puts us on the hook to come up with the difference, the $120,000 difference. And we could execute, you know, within the next 6 months or hopefully, you know, be able to execute that building purchase and get the tax office moved. The other option that's been presented to us would be a tax note option. And because the amount is so small, the cost to execute the tax note option, you know, puts us at the life of that tax note at about 20 or in excess of 20%. I mean, the interest rates that are quoted are not that bad, but we have cost of issuance up front that, that's, you know, what you pay. Well, I'm talking through all of it. I mean, you know, we had asked for that information. It was provided to us. So if the tax office is priority number one, then unless we can find some other funding source, I'm no problems continuing to plan, develop that plan, figure out how to execute it. But we are spent as far as available funds to, renovate the old tax office space. Because talking hypotheticals here, all right. The hypothetical would be that the district attorney's office gets out of the hallway, gets back to, he's all on this tax office side of things. So if that move happened, that'd be domino number one to fall. Domino number two to fall would be then to put juvenile probation back into an area where she previously operated. We're still trying to tweak the conference rooms and the storage. I mean, that's got to be built into it. But the main crux of it would be that hallway. And then those two dominoes have to fall unless we make some other decisions about selling some buildings. Now, I'm not going to put her on the spot, but sort of, there are some funds that juvenile probation has available in an account. I do not know whether they can be spent on any renovations or movements, but she does have built into her current budget funds to move some, you know, to make a move. That's how she designed her budget. Is that correct? Okay. So when those two happen, then the other, you know, kind of where dominoes line up is if CID were to allocate them some space where the 440th has vacated. We don't have the funds to renovate that. I mean, it could be existing space, but then that puts them a really one doorway away from juvenile probation.
Say, if the sheriff doesn't endorse CID there, then there's no reason to even, you know, consider that, because I'm not going to buck.
If the side door, the judge decides, I'm just asking. No, too close?
I think it's too close.
Okay.
If there's a door put in at the back where the conference room is for me, we would have an extra way to get out. 440th has two exit doors as well, one on the side and one on the front. If we could close that door off permanently, we would have two separate spaces.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the sheriff would be.
Then we'd have to consider the restroom.
Well, you have a restroom. There.
There's restroom.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking from the judge's side, you don't necessarily have to block that door off, you just lock it, you know.
Just that way there's no access.
And it wouldn't be used then. I don't know.
I mean, I can see it like walled up or permanently shut off or.
Yeah.
I just don't know that it's seated with the code.
That's the question.
That's why I suggest that in the door, because the main problem was...
Or maybe put like a safety vestibule up, where, you know, maybe another door.
Oh, we can do that. That's
that way, ours is always locked, you know, kind of like a joint hotel room, you know. Just something like that. I mean, I'm just spitballing.
Yeah. And we're not even sure if that space... Yeah, it's going
to
work. But
well, it'd be hard for us to say a definite space because we've expanded and built up. Like I said, I started in 04, and there's between 4 and 5 investigators counting the evidence tech. Now we got up to 12. And a lot of the operations we do, tactical operations, we have to, with combined agencies, we do briefings and debriefings in our office. And that could range from 25, 30 people that we all come in there.
If there was a way to get out of sight and sound.
Sir?
If there was a way to get out of sight and sound between those two divisions, whether, you know, be us and juvenile probation.
Well, I think we could. I mean, but I was trying to ask Commissioner Letter, are you suggesting the whole 440? For CID?
Well, again, I don't know what the square. That's what I was just trying to calculate was.
Yeah, I thought he said
you gave each. You know, if you gave each person, and they'd probably be happy with an 8x8 cubicle, 64 square feet, then you just figure out how many people and how you can arrange that, and then a little. I don't know. They're currently operating in total 1,200 square feet, and that includes a lot of wasted space down that long hallway, which accounts for some, and then of course the evidence and gun room and.
I'm just saying that you're talking about the whole 440.
The cedar floor we actually use for when we collect evidence coming in, we'll process it, and then it goes
on
in
that little
Wherever we go, that's the initial deal. We'll sit there and get it all together. Then we'll transfer it over to the evidence. So if we had offices over there, we may do a big drug raid or something. It comes to the office, we document everything, and then we take it over to evidence. So there might be times it might be in that office with us, along with suspects and everything. So,
and in my mind, I'm not envisioning, you know, offices. You know, if they even just had a partition between their two desks right now, because right now it's desk.
That's what I'm sure of, though. I mean, that does not CID.
Yeah, right.
But what I'm thinking is the CID, the investigators, the sergeants would be in that courtroom area, and there's offices back there that the judges and everybody use now.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a whole lot of remodeling in that building.
There's 5 offices already in there.
Yeah. And a conference room.
Mm-hmm. Right. What's what's the siding of that building?
Metal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? That faces the parking lot? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's easy then. Yeah. Get the door in, it's not.
There's a door there.
There's a door on the other side. There's just not a door on the east side.
Right.
There's a door on the west side and there's a door on the south side. There's not a door on the east side. Today, I mean, I don't know where you put a door on the east side because it'd be coming out of a conference room or a filing room.
Yeah, if it came out of the conference room, there's that alley that runs behind it.
Right.
If it was just for a fire, it's like on the
street. Yeah, right, yeah. I mean, that wouldn't take much, you know. That old Rice building stood next, leaned on it for 6 years. They would tore it down. I mean, that's why I was asking if you was talking about the whole room. Our whole building. I don't know.
Well, it's kind of like what drives me a little crazy about this building is we don't utilize all of our square footage in this building.
I agree.
And certainly it's not laid out in my mind properly for our usage. I just want to make sure we use every square inch that we can, you know, to house our county employees. And
triple their space.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, and that You were including the guys up front?
Narcotics?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. See, that's
so they've been with us, and then with us expanding, then they were moved and worked
right
out of office. I think we got like four that worked out of office.
Right. So that would accommodate those.
I think we can eliminate
that.
No problem.
Mm-hmm. That eliminate sight and sound with no problem.
That's the only hiccup to me is the sight and sound.
Even if we had to throw an exterior condition between that those two doors, that's still nothing. I mean, we got a maintenance fence for fixing tear down. We used to fix that in the door.
But just so we're clear, we're talking about the 440 courtroom and the offices that go with it.
That's why I was asking. I mean, if they needed all that, I don't know who else you'd put with it.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there's only one other department that I know that's like, well, besides the sheriff's office. But in the courthouse, I know pretrial is like really, they're in there, but a whole nother can of worms.
More desk and everyone.
Yeah.
And the question, that I have, I don't know if anybody's ever pitched it, like looking at a growth plan with the DA's office for the next 5 years, growth plan for juvenile probation for the next 5 years, are they going to be able to grow to absorb that building? Or,
If those two moves were made, that building would be busted in 2 seconds, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
It would probably survive for maybe 3 to 5.
Yeah, 5. I think Dusty had not here today, but he had said that he thinks that this will get him for about 5 years. And then, the 10,000 pounds, gorilla is, that, again, this county is going to have to build probably another general purpose, building. And then, so if we can start working on that for, 3 to 5 years from now, we haven't made any, bones about it. We've got the old gin lot, right across the road. It's a beautiful building site. It'd be perfect for a government building since it's right next to the park. You wouldn't probably want, a lot of different stuff there. Heavy commercial or heavy industrial or anything come in there. But that's that. Looking in the future, but I think if we can spend minimal, in air quotes.
Another thing to keep in mind is, we're about tapped out on evidence. We legitimately have no more room, hardly no evidence. We're working real hard with Dusty to try to get some of these motions to dispose and things like that. But I mean, all of our connexes are filled all the way up. Someone's got that little cubby on the back. I think you've been over there.
Multiple times.
Well, it's got the measurements on there.
Yeah.
Where his office and then where he's got evidence. And then compared to the interview room and.
Well, what we.
Our space is. He barely got any room.
As we walked over there, what we talked about, potentially doing was. In there, just putting a wall all the way across here. Now, all of this becomes evidence. And that would, like you said, relieve some of the connexes. I mean, I know Gatesville put stuff in there, DPS put stuff in there. So, all of that then becomes evidence. Hundus would move a little cubicle up here where he has a space now to work. He was showing me the other day, he's kind of hand himself made a Excel spreadsheet now where he can track the evidence so much better. He's got a printing machine that I'm interested in. I think we can figure out how to resurrect that and then keep that interview room there. So that would give them, I think, plenty of future proofing for evidence. We could fortify it a little better even. Yeah, that evidence room is packed. Some of that stuff sits there for years and years and years.
And that's just one place that we're housing evidence. We've got stuff on the M down here.
Yeah.
We got stuff in the room that's in the sally port.
Yep.
And all these places are completely full.
All the connects in the back compound yard back there. Everything's up there.
Probably not going to get totally away from that, but at least you can put the evidence that you think you're going to need.
Well, he rotates.
Right.
So current is all in the building.
Right.
And the farther down it goes to the other.
How many offices are in that 440 to
537? Five or six. Five are in the conference room.
There's one, two, three, four, five.
And an extra bath
in there.
Two baths
yeah,
in there.
Yeah.
Got a conference room.
Mm-hmm.
If it was divided off, you know, like we saw on the site and sound, we could have an interview room that would just accommodate everybody right there. Just make it softer and nicer, and where it would accommodate everybody.
In that interview room they have now, Sheriff, it's like where they had to have for the help of jury, so it's going to be set.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking.
Okay. Anybody know if the 440th, are they in session today or?
There'll be trucks there.
Yeah, I mean, my one walkthrough is when they weren't, and it was with, you know, Sands, and we were pretty much just, you know, he's like going, yeah, I'm getting that and that and that. You know, we might have had
him.
I didn't really spend a lot of time visualizing what could be done. I just remember there was a lot of space.
It's kind of a maze going in
there. It is. Yeah. It's like Dusty's office. It's a maze.
I was a kid that would go to power supply building.
No people still refer to it.
But yeah, you guys going back to the money thing. Yeah, that's what I just want to get. If we can get at least this resolved of what we're going to do, with no promises that we're going to do it, in the rear, instead of then jumping into it, we actually have a plan, and then we can really start, working and do it even in phases if we have to. We know that, the juvenile probation is going to become a higher priority if and when we, place those buildings for sale, right? We know that. The DA is already hiring, his extra people right now. So obviously the CID would come last. But if we could come to an agreement, we commit space and start working on the plans. And then when we do the build out for the juvenile probation area, we build those buffers, into the renovation. It's my idea.
Well, we know there can't nothing be done until after January anyway.
Yeah.
But if we got it planned out, step one, then whenever the time comes, we can start step one and then go to step two and then three.
All right, well, not to beat the dead horse. If we make a move with our tax office footprint in Copper's Cove. Right now, there's not funding to move the DA to the old tax office which then triggers juvenile probation to their old space, which would then trigger, after the 440th moving out, potentially CID moving into the 440th space. That's what I'm hearing the court discuss are four actions. Tax office in Copper's Cove, DA expanding into the old tax office space being action number two. Action number three being juvenile probation to their previous space in the annex. And then action number four being CID to the vacated 440th space.
Yes, and of course, until we figure out the tax office thing in Copper Cove, we don't know how much money.
Well, that's beside the money to do it right now, as far as I'm concerned, is irrelevant. Because we don't know what it's going to cost to remodel that. And we may come in and it might not use but $550,000 on this other deal. And then you're saying we need six, we got $50,000.
Right.
Then it may not take but $20,000 to do what the DA needs.
No,
if we don't have it on paper, knowing what it's going to cost us to do it, then it doesn't matter the cost of it. Because if we don't know the total cost here, then we don't know how much we're going to need to fix it. And I thought that's what we were doing today, was going to try to figure out where the footprint's going to lay and what it's going to cost. We can start getting some prices on what it's going to cost to do the remodel. So then when we did get the funds, we could say, oh, okay, we got enough to move the DA. Let's get that part of it.
Yep. I think we have, in principle, kind of agreed on a footprint.
We don't have a cost, though.
No.
I mean, that's my deal. We can't do it till we get the money. And I'm sure everybody that's involved understands that. And I know just from reactions I've seen from the DA, he's tired of us kicking the can down the road. If we got a set plan, so okay, we're going to need $80,000 to do this so you can get moved in. At least we're making some headway. Right now, we're just saying, yeah, well, he needs this much. I just think we need to get something down and draw a picture of it, even we use a crayon and write it down.
It's exhibited that he can do pretty good little drawing.
He needs one of these not to scale.
Yeah.
Which is fine with me. At least we got a, okay, that's how his building's laid out.
Yeah.
We don't even know that on the DA stuff.
Then I would suggest that our next move, and I don't. I think we can do this under our procurement policies. If we reach back out to RBDR, because they have some historical knowledge of that building, let him link up with the DA to get a proposed design layout for what they think that tax office space should look like. At that point, we can start getting cost estimates. But I mean,
yep. Well, can we use some kind of a contractor local here that might be able to come in there and give us some estimates on what
we got
to
know
what Mr. Boyd, what he envisions?
But,
well,
that's what I'm saying is I think it would be good to get a professional firm to sit down and talk with them about, one, the space that they have available, because I think they already have the measurements on that tax office space. There are some modifications that have been made since RBDR did their last study on that. But they've got at least a base level of knowledge. And working with the new number of people that the DA has in their office at this point, and the additional people that we've authorized for their to be hired this year, figure out what that space layout looks like. And it may not meet, you know, the square footage that he wants. We just don't have any more. Unless we're going to add on to that building, there isn't any more space. So it's, you know, have somebody that we can consult with to give us recommendations based off of what the district attorney's wanting, you know, and needing, with what is the usable space. And that would be, give us something then to reach out to maybe local vendors who could do the work on it, at least give us the estimates on it.
Yeah, in the same way, if you're going
to. Well, I'm just trying to figure out what the money side of it is going to be. You know, Judge, you talked about maybe going out and borrowing the money, you know, and as we sell these properties, you know, we can pay it back. That's why I'm trying to get the number of what we think we need to borrow, if we need to borrow.
Well,
because I mean, like I said, it'd be 12 months, we'll pay it back. And that's all the time we can do it. So.
I mean, what it would cost to remodel the tax, I don't know. I can't
say that's why we brought some, bring somebody in and give us some, you know, what they think the cost is.
Well, I think they could give us RBDR could probably give us a ballpark.
Right. Yeah.
But I think our local vendors, you know, could probably get us, you know, more refined in that of what that number would look like.
I can tell you, you go and blow in all that, that group, you ain't going to have enough money. I can guarantee that right now. I was here and talked to them. They were here for a maintenance contract, what they wanted. They won't be the maintenance up for Emporia County, what they wanted back then. I don't know what they would want this time, but, you know, I think you just need to draw a footprint out along with the three departments that need the help back here and try to sketch it out best you can and then start working on it, because I just think we're going to be spending money that might not necessarily have to. I know you're building inside the city limits, it's a little different and all that, but.
And I agree, Commissioner, because if we are not doing anything, we're not changing structure.
Right.
Then right. It's pretty simple.
Right.
If you ever start talking about, you know, putting in new beams or anything like that, right, then you definitely need to have that right engineered. But.
Right.
But there's no low burden walls in that building, right?
Not in the tax office, and you're not going to move anything potentially in the other, you know.
One of those in the 440 authorities, they used to be in a wide open bay.
Oh, yeah. But they didn't say they were going to move anything there. But
well,
yeah.
I don't mind, you know, volunteering, and it seems like I love construction. Commissioner Matthews,
yes, sir.
I'd love to court like partner up.
I have no problem.
We'll get some, you know, get some stuff, you know, get some people come in, just look at it. You've got a lot of, you know, history and knowledge. You know, we've got some pretty good history now of some of the local trades, you know, from down there. Yeah. And many of them are, you know, within, you know, local. But then we can come back and kind of give you guys, you know, a report of square footage.
What it's going to cost to do something.
What it's going to cost, you know, better, even better than a guesstimate. I think we can get fairly close. And even maybe working with Mr. Cundit's expertise to be able to draw straight lines on a computer, you know, we can, you know, probably get pretty close to that. I just know architects, lawyers, and doctors are very expensive. And I think we did a pretty darn good job with it. Build out of the tax office over here. I haven't heard any complaints. And
no, it's turned up.
Yeah, turned out really, really good, and I think we did it on a pretty I'd be proud to tell the taxpayers that we did that for a pretty minimal amount. I think we can do a lot of the same type of stuff.
Yeah, because it's not like you're putting up a new building. You're just changing the wall configuration.
Yeah. I've had some pretty good interactions with the city, too, you know, on other stuff. So I think I could help with that.
I'm going to find a schematic from the home building.
No, sir. I finally got. He's looking. I thought he'd already emailed it to me, but he had not. We've got one side of the building. We just don't have the other.
Just to put a picture of the
I think the tax side we do, but not the 440 side. Because it was remodeled, and I went to the city and asked them for it. They said they couldn't find it. But I thought he'd emailed me. He sent me an email on something else. So he's checking out now. But I do have the tax on
this side. This one. This.
All right, so we're going to move forward with.
He got to call y'all in May when y'all talked about this before.
In May.
So we'll move forward with pursuing
May 14th on
permanent location for the tax office and early voting in Coppers County.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Obviously, we need to make a formal decision, and we can't make it today, but we'll have it on the next agenda about how we're going to pay for that. And I've discussed a couple things. You've got information. You know, you've seen what we requested from a tax note standpoint, some preliminary numbers of what.
I said to this morning to you, Mr. Wells.
Thank you.
Fresh.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I can find it. I probably have it filed in a folder somewhere.
Okay. You didn't forward it to me, Mr. Bell?
I'm not, but certified. You might have my copy of it up there now for you.
Hey, I'll check my email.
I didn't see my email. Didn't check it.
I check mine like every other day. Just my computer hadn't been downloading at home for some reason.
Nothing
wrong with that.
But the financing is
going to
be
we really only have two options.
Yeah. Even with the $50,000, I'm not, as long as it's callable, there's when you use other people's money, sometimes it can be very advantageous. And, one of my biggest, concerns is, coming into this new budget year is we've got to focus on our reserve, getting that reserve back up. And so if we spend everything that we make, we're not going to build that reserve back up. But sometimes financing things over a longer period of time and spreading it out, even though there's a cost of money, we've all done it. Bought multiple houses and paid more in interest than what I paid for the original house. Sometimes that just happens, but that's the cost of but anyway, I want to make sure we think about that, our reserves. And, there's so many other things in play this year in our budget, with the FEMA reimbursement, if some of those things, it'll change the whole landscape of where we are. Mm-hmm. I'm not that far off on that, right? I mean, just if we get reimbursed $1.4 million for FEMA for stuff that we already expensed, basically, then that becomes, you know, money into the general fund that would.
Well, we know
well, it goes into road and bridge.
We've
road
diverted,
bridge, but it's still, what yeah. I say, okay,
we're gonna
it goes into road yeah. bridge, but it still,
yeah.
you know, builds up our coffers.
Yeah.
That money that we don't have to spend again, it was already spent. We're just asking them to give it back to us. That can be a huge, you know, all of a sudden our budget changes dramatically from where we were.
Well, but that's already in budget.
I
mean, yeah, it's not going to be,
a, right.
you know, that's funds that are already accounted for in the budget. So that doesn't,
yeah,
give, right. that doesn't infuse
yeah, we put that in there.
Some, you know, I'm using the right word.
Yeah.
You always, the unrecognized.
Right.
It's the unrecognized that we have to be able to find.
Yeah.
And now, you know, if, when, you know, all the dominoes fall and everybody gets moved around and there's the last two properties get listed and sold, that's what boosts us. That's a boost.
I agree.
But we, you know, it's a pretty tight line, pretty fine line to be able to get to that point.
Like you said, the thing you said, those are some dominoes that need to fall to where we can get to that.
Then the long-term risk we run, if we take out actually it's not even a 12-month note, it'd be within the tax year.
Yes.
If those properties don't sell, and we don't have the money to pay that loan back. Uh-oh.
You got to check. You do.
Yeah. So that's my concern. Those buildings can sit there for 6, 8, 10, 12 months, and we might not sell them. So I don't think we can, kind of like using grant money to, you know, to fund salaries.
Yeah, you don't want to count on something that you have no control over.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we have one property sold that's reflected, another property that we're about to list. And yeah. I think that given everything that we've been told, and I think that property is going to sell within a 60 to 90 day period. And those are the only two that
are on the
that are reflected there, because I was trying to give you what I felt was a conservative estimate. The one I did not account for was the air handlers.
I'm not going there again. He almost chewed my arm off.
I gave up $200,000 in the budget.
So,
keep that one back to your chances.
Okay, well, I feel at least have a.
I have a question. If we do go without bonds, my concern is to say, how much is that going to affect the tax rate, taxpayer, and that's where I'm coming from. I don't want any players. This too. We've already hit them hard enough. That's my concern. I don't want to put any more on them. That's why I'm against it.
In conjunction with it, what the response I would give you at this point is, in conjunction with that, if that was the route we were to take, then the properties being sold should go into an escrow account. And that escrow account is directly tied to that bond.
And so that, if we do it that right, it should not affect
taxpayer.
Plan is Commissioner Matthew is going to get with DA, juvenile probation, and CID.
Mm-hmm. Walk the spaces.
Walk the space. Get a little picture drawn up the crayons.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing my picture right now.
And then when we come back in November,
mm-hmm.
y'all should have a pretty good number. In 2 weeks.
Good day, bro.
Yeah, man.
But we got a workshop next week.
So
I'll expect something.
I mean, the numbers might be a little tough, but I bet we can, you know, at least get it down to square footage. And then, you know, I mean, there's models out there that you can put, you know, $80 a square foot to re, you know, I mean.
Well, the main thing, the way I look at it in my little pea brain, is we need to take care, I mean, the tax office, that's number one. But start with number two, the DA yep. office. That's got to be all completed before we can even move juvenile probation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't even know about carpet flooring. But, well, okay, we'll give you guys a full and assessment then, of what, at least what our opinion is. And, you know, I'd say everybody go in their own time and take a look at it, too. Because I think the more eyes that are laid on it, the less mistakes, you know, that we will all make.
440s is not in business right now. I mean, they know they're going to. I already talked to them.
I can't just take measure. I need to eat a big lunch.
So the driveway. Probably easiest for this Marcy and color. You know what you need.
Numbers on that.
Yeah, he said he was looking. All right, talk to him.
Yeah, I talked to you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He sent me something else. I thought he'd sent me that when I asked for it, but we talked about it. That's what he sent me. Oh, you're looking people coming in, fella.
What do I need to hurt you?
Here you go.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to reach out to RBDR and put you on touch with them?
I've got his business card. I took out, saw him at one of the functions, and instead of collecting the business card, I put it in my contact. So I've got.
I mean, and you can just ask him up front, you know, yeah, what was his fee? You know, just to,
yeah.
We can go from there.
I'll absolutely do that.
And with that, I'm going to throw him under the bus, but Mr. Wood and I will come back with some potential alternate financing options and what that would look like.
Awesome.
Because either way, to make the building happen in Copper's Cove, we can cash flow it, but we can't just write that check right now.
You're going to have to borrow.
It's just.
Yeah, but that one there is, like you said, when we started this meeting, we don't have a contract on that lease property. If we don't do something, we're going to be.
Yeah, people comfortable. We ain't going to want to drive all the way here paying tax.
No.
Well,
there's.
Exactly.
But.
Well.
Sometimes you get the other, the stinky hand, you just got to go with it.
Are you all in there?
I'm gonna reach out to.
I'll be glad.
I'm gonna reach out to City of Copper's Cove and let them know kind of what the position we're in, because I mean, you know, I was thinking that the tax office space was the one that ended in February. It's not. It ends December 31st.
Yeah.
And we are at October 22nd.
Yeah. That's
what
I thought.
We
got to stop
again. So
I thought it was in February.
Well, that's I had them backwards. We had them flip flop. The voting space we have until February. So even if we had a place to move to right now, when you talk about the internet and connections with the state.
We know how long it took them to move this.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is like right now, we don't even have, like, if we had a place to go to right now,
they wouldn't have it done by the first
year. We would not have vehicle registration and tax office services in Copper's Cove.
Same time of year.
We can't do it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we want to collect those taxes, that's for sure.
So to move on something,
give up the vehicle. We don't get no taxes.
You have to give up. We're almost in horseback.
Well, we're gonna say we may have to get some buy some more oats. I know there's a truckload for sale. Start feeding some mules.
Okay. So anything else we need to cover for today?
I think we actually got the bottom of it.
All right. I will type up my notes and send those out to you so we all kind of can be tracking along with the same notes of who's doing what. And so I don't know whether I hate this phrase or not, because I know I'm going to end up using it. As we line the dominoes up and they start to fall, we can all track, you know, what this sequence is and have some realistic expectations. And we can deliver some realistic expectations to those departments that will be affected. You know, DA is not the only one that's feeling frustration. I'd venture to say that Ms. Donahue is feeling some frustrations as well, and would like some definitive answers so she can do some planning. So, round the horn, any alibis?
I just appreciate
we did
you guys coming in and participating and at least getting listening. Now you know what we're gonna attempt to get done, and we will make sure we communicate, you know, where we are in this process, or at least I know the judge has already said, you know, putting notes together. I think it's fantastic. Something like this, we do. There's a lot of moving parts. So thank you.
Okay. Ms. Newton, anything from your corner? That concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned.